Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. Coming to you from Tehran, I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, Syrians are getting ready to enter a new political phase in their country. And on Monday, people will go to the polls for a parliamentary election, part of the reforms which have been implemented by President Bashar al-Assad. Now, after 1 year of turmoil in the country, Syrians, after approving a new constitution by 90% of those who vote, want the country to go in a better direction. However, there are still attacks that have been initiated by armed groups, and the Western-supported Syrian opposition is calling for a boycott of the election. On this news analysis, we'll be taking a look at the Syrian parliamentary election and what it may mean for the future of Syria.
It is the country's first elections under the new constitution approved in a February referendum. The constitution envisions a multi-party Syria where all political groups can compete with the ruling Ba'ath Party. Monday's vote, along with the constitution, has been part of a package of reforms introduced by President Bashar al-Assad. More than 7,000 candidates are competing for the 250 seats up for grab. Over 14 million Syrians are eligible to vote. The foreign-backed opposition residing abroad has called for Syrians to boycott the elections. The opposition's Western supporters have also cast doubt on what the vote can yield.
I will vote. First of all, it's every Syrian's duty. Secondly, the previous parliaments were not so effective.
I hope the new parliament will solve the housing and employment issues, and it can ensure security of the country and bring back its previous peace.
If it's not safe outside, I will not go to vote. But if it's safe, no armed groups, no explosions, I will go.
President Assad paid tribute to Syrian forces killed in fighting anti-government armed groups by laying a wreath at a monument in an area overlooking the capital, Damascus. Thousands of people have lost their lives in the 14-month violence that has ravaged parts of Syria. The unrest has abated following a ceasefire brokered by the UN and the Arab League. But it is still taking its toll on Syrians as UN monitors have begun their mission under a peace plan by UN envoy Kofi Annan. Annan's spokesperson says the peace plan is on track, though the pace is slow.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from London, Mr. Haytham al-Sabahi, is from the Syrian Social Club. From Damascus, Mr. Taleh Ibrahim, political analyst. And from Pennsylvania, Mr. Linden, also political analyst and writer. Thank you so much for being with us, all of you. I'd like to start it off in London with our guest there. How significant do you think the reforms that we are seeing in Syria really are? For example, like the holding of this election?
Good evening to you and to your viewers and your guest. First of all, let me say we send a message to our martyrs, because this is Remembrance Day in Syria, and peace upon our martyrs who lost their lives the last 13 months in Syria and all over the years. Second thing, maybe we send them a small gift. We heard the news this evening, Mr. Sarkozy and Jubier losing the election. So that's maybe will please the Syrian people, one down and four to go. We come back to your question.
Yes, please.
It is a remarkable thing to have the election, parliamentary election tomorrow. The first day was the referendum for the constitution. Now we are completely on the track for a political process in Syria and for reforms, which we've been waiting a little bit longer for it, but is coming, and is coming very well organized.
Okay.
And the Syrian people, I believe, they're looking forward to go ahead. And as we can see, there's over 6,000 candidates. monitored by 200 news organizations and 100 VIP figures. This is very good news, and we like to see and the result, and I believe there is some independence and some from different parties participating in the election, and we hope tomorrow the Syrians will go out and voice their opinion on those candidates and start the reforms taking shape much faster from now on.
All right, well, let me turn to Damascus and get Mr. Ibrahim in on this. Mr. Ibrahim, do you see this election as a major step going towards a more representative government in your country?
Firstly, peace on our Martyrs' Day. But yes, of course, it's an important step. It is not a major step, but I can say, yes, it's an important step to make a real change in the political life of Syria. Tomorrow elections gives a message to international world that Syria is able to make its political resolution by itself. And I am sure that democracy, it is a culture. By these elections, we must try to make this culture more and more widespread between our citizens. We must replace weapons, guns, fighting by elections, by political means. This is the most important thing. And otherwise, it is the first elections after the new constitution. Somehow it should not be democratic 100%, but it is a very important step towards a new Syria. After these elections, we will find a new government, and I am sure that this government should be more and more different from other governments in Syria in the last decades. There will be more and more parties will join this government and other forces in the society. So I think the democracy now will begin as a spark in Syria by this elections. It is not very, very great spark, but we hope it to spread widely to be over all Syrian territory. This is the most important thing.
Okay.
We are able to make elections. We determined to make these elections, and we are challenging the violence. We are challenging the takfirists. We are challenging all the others who want to devastate the Syrian state.
Okay. Well, now let me get Mr. Len Denyon on this, who is in the United States in Pennsylvania. Now, Mr. Denyon, Mr. Ibrahim said that they are challenging now the violence. But let's look at that with the United States actually not particularly happy with this election and basically has supported, along with certain regional countries, armed groups. How likely are we to see peaceful elections? How likely is it that perhaps those entities that are against seeing a democratic process going forward in Syria may try to cause some chaos on the ground?
Well, the view from the United States is that the NATO countries, the United States, and the Gulf states are fighting for democracy against a dictator. This is inherently absurd because the Gulf states don't have a democratic governance either. So, in essence, the United States is not interested in establishing democracy in Syria. It has been destabilizing and weakening Syria because it wants to take over. Okay, and Israel is behind this also for regional interests. So although the United States claims to support democracy in Syria, that is not its aim at all. So although tomorrow will be a step forward for Syrian democracy, the United States is already preempting the results by saying that it is illegitimate. Because frankly, the United States is not interested in democracy in Syria. I would like to quote Maliki, the Prime Minister of Iraq, by asking hypothetically, since when did Saudi Arabia become interested in democracy? Okay, and also there are 250,000 Iraqi refugees living in Syria. So just think about that for a second. They are living in Syria and they are not citizens. They don't have full citizenship. They don't have full rights. They only live there as refugees, and yet they prefer to live in Syria rather than in Iraq, which is a country that was taken over and destroyed by the United States. So if the United States has its way, Syria will become another Iraq, and refugees will flee from Syria instead of trying to come into Syria.
Okay. Let me turn back to London and Mr. Al-Sabahi. With this situation, now there are opposition candidates that are running in the parliamentary elections. What is the difference between those individuals and those on the outside of the country that are actually calling for a boycott of the elections?
No, of course, we have an opposition parties in Syria who is participating on the ground. The one is outside Syria is forget about them. Those are traitors. They hand themselves to Saudi Arabia. They hand themselves to Qatar. They hand themselves to United States. I mean, from the beginning, these people, they try to sneak in. Now they show their true face. And they don't have a place in the Syrian politics. When they are dealing with outside, they're asking for Chapter 7. They want to bomb Syria. They're causing damage to infrastructure in Syria. They're sending car bombs and arms through Turkey and through Lebanon. The Syrian peoples, they will not accept this kind of... They are terrorists, by the way. There is a political terrorism to it, formed by the SNC, and there is those rebels who are fighting on the ground. We want a reform in Syria. We want a democracy, our style, a Syrian style, which involved the culture in Syria, not a democracy. We asked in the beginning if there is any expertise can help in Syria, but the democracy we wanted in Syria is not the type of democracy of Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and these people, this organization outside Syria, that's the type of democracy they want. They want a democracy of the type of Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, secret prisons, killing people, blowing people, causing sectarian killings, as now they're training on Kosovo, as we heard, they're causing civil war. There is no civil wars, there is no sectarian people. The majority of Syrians are aware of all this, and they're working very hard on the ground to implement the reform and the democracy and to take Syria to different phase. Okay. We all Syrians, we love to see our country is the best. There is no citizen in Syria.
All right, well, let me turn back to Damascus and get Mr. Ibrahim back in on this discussion. Now, we know that it's been over 3 weeks since the peace plan of Kofi Annan, the UN envoy, has been implemented, and there has been less violence on the ground, although it is still being portrayed in a lot of the mainstream media as the opposite. I want your perspective as far as what kind of effect, if any, do you think that these type of negative reports may have on the elections tomorrow? Now, even in our in the clip that we showed coming about to start with this discussion, we talked to some individuals in Syria, and they said if things are calm, that they may vote. How do you think that, first of all, the foreign media could play a role in this? And what do you see on the ground as far as the psyche of the Syrian people?
What I would say about the media, the foreign media and some Arab media such as Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, etc., they are a part of the war against Syria, against Syrian state and against Syrian population, against Syrian army, against Syrian geopolitical role in the region. And the international media, unfortunately, is working the same, except some professional TV channels and the newspapers. Anyhow, as we have seen the Syria, that the spokesman of Envoy Kofi Annan said, yeah, the peace process is on the track. We in Damascus, we feel so, and we notice that the rate of violence is less and less, and I am sure the Syrian government will implement Kofi Annan 100% as far as it can, but anyhow, it will not allow to anybody to destabilize Syria or to kill civilians or etc. And here I will have to say something about what our colleague from Pennsylvania says, that about the democracy and the freedom in Syria, that the freedom of religion is one of the most important countries in the world, the freedom of method of living. This is very important, not only political freedom to make elections and then to make, this is a part of the freedom. And Tomorrow, we are looking to make this a part of the freedom. If you will compare Syria or Saudi Arabia, where there's no constitution, no religious freedom in Syria, you will find Sheikh and others in the Iglesia. They are praying to the Lord, and you will find Christian people in the mosque. This is Syria. Syria is very different from any place in the world. And so, I am sure that Fundamentalists, takfiris, and Salafis, they are trying to devastate this state. They want to kill this method of living. In Iraq, there is no Christians now, but in Palestine, and in the Jewish state, between brackets, of course, Jewish states in Israel, there is no Christians, and et cetera, et cetera. This is a kind of discrimination, okay. And it is, according to my opinion, it is a war crime. In Syria, you will find nothing of this. We are in need to some procedures in political freedom to be one of the most democratic states in the world. We know that, and we know our way to democracy. Tomorrow's elections, it is a very important step towards political freedom. Of course, opposition, etc., independent individuals are participating in these elections, and the Syrian population have a very great hopes about the future.
Okay.
We are
all right.
Sure,
well, let me turn back to Pennsylvania and get Mr. Lindin back in on this. Sorry, Mr. Abraham, but we are running low on time. Now, Mr. Lindin, usually in any country, they benefit if their neighbors are stable entities. However, in the situation with Syria, we have some of their neighbors actually trying to support these armed gangs and to cause destabilization inside of the country. Why are we seeing this continual effort by these type of entities to destabilize Syria in the way that we're still witnessing?
Well, Syria has been an enemy of Israel for a long time, so Israel has always been trying to destroy Syria. And then you have the Sunni-Shiite divide, so that's the Gulf states' involvement. And then the United States is fighting on behalf of Israel. And it's also, the United States benefits from any war. You know, any kind of warfare benefits the military industrial banking complex that is the United States. So there are many reasons why so many countries are ganging up on Syria. It is incredible. You basically seeing Libya all over again. So in spite of this enormous military and economic pressures, let's not forget the economic sanctions that's been applied on Syria, that's making life very difficult for the average Syrian. In spite of all that, Syria is still intact. Now, whatever gains that will be made tomorrow in the elections or in the days and months ahead, I don't think it will satisfy These international bullies that are trying to destroy Syria.
So what does that mean? Let me just jump in right here, Mr. Den. So what does that mean? Let's say the elections go well and there's a massive turnout, but you're saying that it's not going to satisfy those entities whose interests are something else. So what are you saying? What do you think would happen?
Well, they want a weak Syria, because Syria is an ally of Iran, for example. Syria is an ally of the Palestinian people. There are many reasons to weaken Syria. So they don't want stability in Syria. They want a weak and chaotic and undemocratic Syria. That's their aims.
All right, well, turning back to London, let's look at possible scenarios for Election Day. What sign does it send if there's a massive turnout in the parliamentary elections, in your perspective?
Well, I think it's going to be high turnout, because most of the Syrians are tired from those lies and fabrication and incitement from different channels in the world, from countries led by United States, Saudi Arabia. Now all the truth is coming out. Actually, in Syria, the majority of Syrians stood for the last 13, 14 months. It's first of all for Syria. The second also, we fought on the ground, not militarily in the sense of military or so, but we fought also for our Islams, because this Muslim Brotherhood, who's the criminal, they try First of all, their name Muslim Brotherhood, they try to hijack all the Islams to them. So most of the Syrians, the Muslims one stood for the Islams because they believe it's the worst thing and the most dangerous on Islam. There is a person who kill, maims, bombs, put a car bombs, and he's wearing the clothes of Islam. So we try to strip those peoples from all this ideology, the Salafis, the Wahhabis, those Muslim Brotherhoods. We managed this till now. Now is the time for the political process. But the Syrians is very aware of this group. There were little bit confusion in the beginning, but at the moment I think everyone knows, even 6 years old, these people are no good for Syria, the one coming from outside. They are just there to damage the infrastructure, to bring Syria out of its pillars in the Middle East. The first pillar of Syria is the resistance. The Arab, what you call it, the Arab hoods, the Arab nation, Syria is advanced on this. So they didn't manage to break the resolve of the Syrian, and they will never break the resolve of the Syrian. They start talking about sectarian war and civil war. They have to understand there is so-called rebels and terrorists on one side, and there is the majority of Syrians on the other side who will never pick up arms, who will resort to their army, to their security service, to their police to defend them. We follow what you call it, government institutions. We follow law and order. We will not pick up arms to fight these people.
Okay.
There
well,
is
let
an
me
army.
Well, I want to turn to Syria because I'm just about out of time
service.
With Mr. Ibrahim. How do you see this? Are you optimistic about not only the elections, but the future of your country?
Yes, yes, I am very much optimistic. I have a great confidence in Syrian culture and in the Syrian spirit, which gave the people, all the people of the world, they gave him a very, very great civilizations in the last 10,000 years. Syria, one of the most ancient nations in the world. We have our belief, our great belief, and our future in our leadership. We are sure that we will pass this very, very bad era. And we, after a few years, we looked to the past, which is now as a nightmare. I am very, very much optimistic.
Okay, and on that note, I'd like to thank all my guests for the program. From London, Mr. Haytham Al-Sabiha, from the Syrian Social Club, from Damascus, political analyst, Mr. Taleh Ibrahim, and from Pennsylvania, political analyst and writer, Mr. Lynn Den. And as always, viewers, we thank you for being with us on another look at a news analysis. Join us here, same time, same place tomorrow. Well, I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you so much for being with us. And goodbye.